So we started a few weeks ago talking about a message that honestly I believe is very important for these days. And it's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking is the title of the message. And, you know, I think I was able to get through a couple little things a few weeks ago. Today I thought, well, maybe I'll finish the message. No, that ain't going to happen. But let me just review real quickly. If there was ever a time for this message, it's now. What Jesus told his disciples, and this is going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. What Jesus told his disciples here was not just intended for those disciples, but for all his disciples for as long as we live on this earth, right? And so let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, and we talked about the fact that we need to get over the idea that evil just means like the serial killer guy out there. Evil is anything that disagrees with God. Anything that disagrees with his word is evil. And sometimes I believe Jesus had to use language like that to kind of shock the people, to get their attention and let them know, look, it's not just the big things that matter. It's the little things too. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And what God's trying to do in his church right now is to weed out the little things that have been stopping his church from moving forward. And he calls it evil. He says, but if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts or good things to those who ask him? And so we talked about the fact that this is one of the things that Jesus commanded his disciples. It was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And when Jesus spoke these words were spoken as a command. They were the ask, the seek, and the knock are imperatives. And we have to get out of this idea that when Jesus said something or when God says something in his word, that it's an optional. Like, if you feel like it, ask. If you feel like it, seek. If you feel like it, knock. No, it wasn't optional. It's imperative. And so I believe that God, of course, is calling his people into a place of asking, seeking, and knocking. And the reason they use the three different words is because they describe three different levels of prayer. And so when we talk about asking, that word means to request or petition or even to demand. And we said that there are some things in which it's so clear in God's word what his will is, that you can ask in faith, knowing that it is his will, and you don't have to worry about whether or not that will be answered. Now, let me give you an example. Now, I'm not talking about, like, healing, for instance. God never told us to ask for healing. It's declared in his word what he believes about healing. Jesus never told his disciples, go find some sick people, and then when you find sick people, come back and get me so I can go lay my hands on them. No, he told them, no, you lay hands on them, right? You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out devils because I've authorized you. I've given you the authority to do that. And so when the church finally gets a hold of that, you're going to see the power of God flowing through the church. And so it's not a matter of asking God to do something he's already done. It's a matter of us believing God. And what we're asking him is, Father, show me what you want to do right here. Show me what your will is. Now, some things in the word are very clear. For instance, he said, ask for wisdom. He said, if you ask me, I'll give it to you liberally, right? So we ask for wisdom. We ask for his direction. We ask him for those things, right? Those are clear in the word that we should ask for those. Now, there's a lot of things that people ask God for that are not clear in the word, and they're not his will at all, and they never bother to ask God whether or not it's his will. Now, I grew up in Word of Faith movement. Now, in Word of Faith movement, one of the things that people went off with And it was a good movement. There was good teaching. But one of the things people went off with is they were always talking about, well, I'm believing for this, and I'm believing God for that, and I'm believing. But they never bothered to ask God if this is something that he even wanted them to have. It just became a whatever I want kind of thing, and I'm going to believe God for it. But if you never got a word that originated with God about that particular thing, you had nothing to stand on to believe. And so you didn't believe anything. What you had was foolishness or presumption, but you didn't have faith operating. Okay. And then what happened is people started saying, oh, well, this Christianity thing don't work, because I believed God for that new Maserati and it didn't show up, and I claimed it in Jesus' name and I said it over and over and over and it never happened. Well, he never told you he was going to give you that Maserati. What you ended up with, instead of a Maserati, you ended up with a misery. So when we're asking, really, what we're doing in this sense is we're asking God to show us, to give us his heart, give us his will, to, you know, give us his wisdom and those kind of things. Okay. So that's one level. And the word means request, petition, or demand. And I want to clarify this. We don't demand anything from God. I've seen people take that and goes, and I've heard people, in fact, it makes me cringe when I hear people, God, I demand that you do this, or God, I command you in Jesus' name to do this. What is wrong with you? You don't demand God. You don't. So the word demands, it's not putting a demand on God. It's when you understand that when we ask and we're putting a demand, it's not trying to force God to do something that he doesn't want to do. It's putting a demand on the situation because we believe what God has said. And there's a difference. We don't put a demand on God, but we put a demand on the situation that we know God has spoken about. Okay? And when we believe him, that faith puts a demand on that. And so, again, that's the asking part. Then there's the seeking part. The seeking part is, it means getting to the bottom of the matter. In other words, it's seeking a deeper level of prayer than just asking. You know, most people's prayer life is nothing but asking God for stuff. That's all they do. That's their prayer life. But it goes so much deeper than that. The kind of prayer life he wants us to have, the seeking part he wants us to have, is seeking to get to know him better and seeking to know, again, seeking to know his will. But it's a deeper thing than asking for stuff. This is where I believe the listening comes in. And I believe most of our prayer shouldn't be asking as much as it should be listening. Because once you ask God to show you, then you need to shut up and let him show you. But most of our prayer is just, well, we got to fill a certain amount of time. I got to pray for an hour, so I got to think of an hour of stuff to say. People go, man, it's hard to pray for an hour. No, it's not. It may be hard for you to talk for an hour because you run out of stuff to say. But you know what? You could talk for 1 minute and listen to God for the rest of the hour. It's still praying if you're listening. Amen? The listening part is more important than the talking part. Okay? We got to get out of the idea, like the old Roman Catholic idea that many of us grew up in, that it's through saying all these words. It's somehow from saying all these words and people praying the rosary and so on and repeating stuff, thinking that that's what God is after. God's not after you just saying a lot of words, right? It's more important to him that we hear from him, because he is the one who knows what's going on. And if we're not careful, we'll start trying to tell God how to do it and what to do, as though somehow we know. So again, the seeking part is very important. And part of that, I believe, one of the reasons that prayer language, the praying in tongues that God gives people, and if you've not experienced that yet, ask God, ask him for it, and then by faith receive it. But one of the reasons that's so important, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26b through 27. It says, "The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It's a beautiful gift that God has given to the church. Now, again, it's not a legalistic thing, and I don't believe a person has to speak in tongues to be saved. Okay, that's not the point. But why would we not want a beautiful gift that God has given us? The Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, that the believer is being built up. There are times when I don't know what to pray. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit, because my mind ain't just, it don't know. right? And so I've learned, if I'm going to pray and I'm going to be speaking anything out of my mouth, I'm praying in the Spirit more than I am in my own understanding, because my own understanding gets skewed, okay? So again, and it's not just trying to do something to look spiritual or anything like that. It's because the Holy Spirit inside of us knows what is needed, right? So it's like God talking to God, all right? And how many of you know when God talks to himself, he's in full agreement, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit begins to talk. God's not going to say, no, not that. No, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's needed. And so that's a very important part. Okay, and we're going to end with this last one, knocking. We'll talk about this and we'll go into some other stuff. Knocking. The word knock, it's the Greek word kruo. And this is awesome. It means to strike. It means to beat a door with a stick. It means to gain entrance. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus is saying, I want you to be forceful about this. I want you to be forceful. And understand, it's an imperative, but it's what's called a present imperative. So really, the best translation would be, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking. There's never a time when we stop, and knock and keep on knocking. That's what it really means. And because it was never supposed to stop. It's kind of like what Pastor Cindy said about how, you know, we come to church on Sunday and we're Mary on Sunday, but then we're Martha every other time. What was it that was so beautiful about Mary that he loved? It was that she was seeking him. Right? She was worshiping him. She was in his presence. That was more important than anything else. Now, here's the good news. You can go do your job wherever you work, whatever it is you're doing. You can do that and still be Mary. You can be about whatever business God has you about, but still keep the heart of Mary, that heart of worship, that heart of knowing that God is still very present. And so we have to be careful that we don't, like I used to say, show up to Sunday and give God a kiss on the cheek and then go play around with the world all the rest of the week, right? We're supposed to be the bride of Christ. So it is a knocking, it is a to strike. You know, a lot of times, and many times people will approach God like this. We'll approach God and we'll approach people like this, kind of timid, and it's kind of like, have you ever gone somewhere you didn't really want to be, but you knew you were supposed to be there? And when you knock, it's kind of like, and you're really kind of hoping they don't open the door. Because God, I didn't really want to do this in the first place. God tells you to go talk to someone. Go tell them about my love. Our approach is real kind of hoping they, you know, just tell us to go away. But this is different. This is forceful. This is to beat the door with a stick. I mean, this, look, no matter what, I'm going to gain admittance. Okay. Why is God wanting us to do that? Because that's how he wants us to be with him. Listen, he wants us to get to move from being outside to being inside. Okay, he wants it. Now, I think that sometimes God gets a kick out of it. It's kind of like, well, I'm gonna hold off and I'm gonna see how bad they really want to come in. Right? But if you really want to come in, you're not going to knock lightly and turn away. Look, you'll pick up a 2x4, you'll do whatever, and you're going to beat on that door until that door gets open, right? Why? Because God wants us to want to be with him. And so it's refusing to be turned away. In Acts 12, Peter was locked up in prison by Herod. How many of you remember that story? Peter's locked up, and then he's miraculously freed by an angel. And in fact, Peter don't even know if this thing is real. I mean, it's like he don't know if he's dreaming or if this is really happening. Notice what it says in Acts 12 through 16. Verse 12, it says, when this had dawned on him, man, isn't it good when God does something in your life that's so good you can't even believe this is really happening? I mean, it's like in Psalms, I think it's 26 or 126, where it says it was like a dream. Right? God loves us to have those moments. It says that when it dawned on him, when Peter realized, I really am free from prison. Some of you, it's going to dawn on you when you go home. I really was healed. I really am free from this addiction. I really am changed. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. When it dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. What were they doing? They gathered and they were praying. They were doing what they were supposed to do. I mean, they were being spiritual. And then Peter knocks at the outer entrance, and the servant Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening the door. And it's such a funny story. So here he is, he's freed miraculously from prison. He's knocking on the door where all these people are praying and asking God to free him. And Rhoda recognizes his voice, and she's so excited, she don't even open the door. She leaves Peter out there knocking. And then when she goes in there, she tells him, she ran back without opening it and explained, Peter is at the door. And notice what they said, you are out of your mind. This is Acts 12, 12 through 16, by the way. They said, you're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. So think about that. They had the faith to believe that an angel could materialize and start knocking on the door, more so than they could believe that God actually answered their prayer. How many of you are just like that sometimes? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But notice what it says in verse 16. It says, but Peter kept on knocking. It's the same Greek word. It's the same phrase. He kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So here's the thing. I wonder sometimes if God gets astonished. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to ask and to seek and knock in a way that God is astonished, that you're still there knocking. Amen. Not just astonished because you're free from something, but astonished because you're still knocking. You're going to gain entrance no matter what. In Luke 11, just before giving his disciples the command about asking and seeking and knocking, he says this in Luke 11, 5 through 8. But it says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Well, the good thing is at least he's not asking for eggs. So something affordable. You know. Lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Now, here's a point I want to make that I don't normally see in this, but the Lord showed me this morning, is that thank God that Jesus gave us the example. Thank God that Jesus did not stop knocking until he was able to gain interest. I believe that God was knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And for some of us, it took years. For some of us, it was a little quicker. But thank God Jesus set the example and he went all the way and he did not stop and will not stop until we answer the door and let him in. The only reason you're here today is because God has been knocking on your life. God has been knocking on your door and you decided to let him in. And so he says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, somebody say shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I believe that God wants his people to have some shameless audacity. Sometimes it's I'm ashamed because, Lord, I blew it and I don't believe I qualify for this good stuff you want to do, that the preacher's telling me you want to do in my life. And so you allow shame to rob you from that which God wants to do. And then other times it's just that we're too ashamed to get radical in our knocking because we don't want to wake the neighbors. We don't want anybody to think we're crazy. We don't want anybody to think negative of us. Right? Because we want to get along with the world. It's what Brother Mike was talking about, 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in heaven. Let me tell you something, that nothing good comes out of that. So God is saying, this is a time, this is a season, I want my people to have some shameless audacity. And I want them to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking, not because I don't want to give it to them and the only reason, and they're going to change my mind. No, it's because God knows that there's a level of desperation that has to come to us in the knocking to where we're not going to give up until we see it. And there's another part of this, and we're going to end with this. It's important to understand that I can ask. I don't have to be in a person's house to ask them for something. Okay. I can stand outside and holler at them from the window. Hey, what do you want from the grocery store? Or whatever. But God wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to go into His house because He wants to have an intimate relationship. He wants us to know that we're not just an acquaintance, but that we're family. And when Jesus gives the command about knocking, I believe it has to do with God saying, I want you to come all the way in. I want you to step through the threshold. I don't want there to be any division between us. So you knock, you ask, you seek, you knock, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, and you don't stop. There needs to be an intimacy with God that most of the church has never experienced. Okay? And when I say intimate, I'm not talking about some crazy off-the-wall weird thing with sexual overtones. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that God wants us to know Him intimately. So I'm going to stop right there because we need to quit. But let me just say this. When I was a kid, I had something happen to me that I'll never forget. I'd gone to a neighbor's house, and that neighbor had a pit bull. Well, it wasn't really a neighbor. It was a friend of mine. It was a neighbor to my uncle. And I was going to this kid's house to go play with him. I was a schoolmate. And so I'm knocking on the door. Okay, I'm knocking on the door. Now, I knew he had a dog. I thought the dog was put up. I'm knocking on the door, and all of a sudden, and maybe you've experienced this, I hear claws scratching on the concrete. Sounded like an animal running. And I couldn't see it yet because it was around the corner, because this thing was, it was like a long sidewalk in front of his house, and the dog was like in the carport area over here, but I could hear it when it took off. And I'm knocking on the door, and I remember that dog had already attacked somebody before. I'd heard about it, and I'd seen that dog kill another dog before. And so I'm knocking on the door. Can I tell you that my knocking got a little more desperate when I heard the scratching? Can I tell you that when that dog rounded the corner, it got very desperate? Now, I'm not at a place I can run now. I can't get away. God wants us to be at a place where we can't run away. We can only go in the house, right? Now, I want to tell you, the knocking went from tapping to beating. And it went from beating to I don't care what they think of me, I'm getting in this house. And I'm telling you, I busted through the front door of that house because that dog, I mean, he was on me. He's a big old pit bull. He was on me. I busted through the door of that house. In fact, his mom, the boy's mom, was about to open the door. And when I busted through that door, I knocked her on the ground with the door. So the door hit her, knocked her down. I tripped over her feet, fell right on top of her. She doesn't know who this is, what's going on. She's screaming bloody murder. She's beating me half to death. And her son comes running around the corner and says, Dwayne, what are you doing to my mother? And I'm thinking, I ain't doing nothing to your mother. I'm trying to live. Okay. Now, why did I say that? And by the way, by the time I got in there, that pit bull had a, thank God he didn't get any flesh, but he had my pants. And he's trying to jerk me out that door. And then finally, my friend saw and he called his dog off. And by the way, that was the last time I visited there, just so you know. But my point is this. When we get desperate enough to get in the presence of God, when we get desperate enough to get in there as much as we are trying to get away from a killer dog that's trying to eat us up, and we will not take no for an answer, but we will go through forcefully as possible. Can I tell you, God loves it. He's not upset. And by the way, the friend's mom was not upset with me when she saw what was really happening, okay? But I'll never forget the desperation I felt. If we get that desperate for His presence, nothing will keep us out. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Because about some of y'all about to get desperate to run out of this door. So I want to pray. And you know, the Lord's had His way, and He's you know, he's already touching hearts. But this is what I believe this morning is about. You are commissioned this morning. You are commissioned. You are commissioned to go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal incurable diseases. You are commissioned to let the power of God flow through you to those who are lost, those who are in the darkness. You are commissioned to speak truth that breaks chains off of people's lives. You are commissioned to do that. The Holy Ghost lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And I believe this morning, those are things I say often, but I believe this morning that there is a real move of God this morning calling His people to go out. Look, revival can happen in us, but it's not just about us. We could say, man, I experienced God's presence today and it was beautiful. But you need to take God's presence to someone who's never experienced God's presence. That's why we're here. We look up to God. We look inside. We let Him do the things that He needs to do. But then we look out to what needs to be done. And through His leading, through His empowerment, we do that which only can happen with a heavenly touch. Amen. Now, how many of you are ready to go do that? Come on, here's your commissioning right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you for anointing them, Father. Anointing their hands, anointing their feet, anointing their lips to speak the truth. Lord, anointing them to bring about that which only can come from heaven, God. I thank you for causing heaven to touch earth through your people here this morning. And I thank you, Father, that not one person in this room is here by accident. Lord, you're commissioning them right now in this moment, God, to be light in the extreme darkness, Father. Lord, to have flavor to that which is a flavorless world, Lord. Lord, to bring truth to that which is full of deception and lies. And Lord, I thank you for that. Now, I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord, just for everybody in this room, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Now, Father, I thank you for descending upon them. I thank you, Father, for causing your power, your anointing, Father, to be evident in their lives, Father. I pray that there would be just a tremor from the Holy Spirit in their lives, Father, throughout the night, throughout the week, God. Lord, may they know that you are with them, Father. And I thank you for your commission upon their lives to do your work on this earth. We thank you, Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of them. I thank you that your angels are going out before every one of them to protect them, to clear the way, to remove demonic strongholds, Father God, that would try to stop your work. And we thank you for that. Fruitfulness, fruitfulness, fruitfulness for the kingdom of God, we declare in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.